Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Adapter for JDBC Known Issues and Solutions. Today's presenter is Vinod Walecha. Vinod is a developer with IBM India Software Labs and is currently working on development and customer support for IBM WebSphere PeopleSoft Adapter. He has over 4 years of experience working with various Java technologies, including Java Connector Architecture, or JCA. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vinod. You may begin.
Thanks, David. Hello, everybody. I welcome you all for the webcast today. As mentioned by David, I work as a developer with WebSphere Adapters and CastTime team in IBM India Software Labs. And I'm also involved in providing level 3 support to customers worldwide for WebSphere adapters and CastTime. Today's presentation is about the known issues that we have seen in JDBC adapter and their solutions. During the presentation, I will also provide an introduction to JDBC adapter, what it is, what all operation it supports, etc. So that it is helpful for people who do not know JDBC adapter in detail. During the presentation, you can refer to the slides that are shared, or you can also refer to the local copy of the presentation. Since I will be stating the current slide number as I go through the presentation. Moving on to slide number 2. Just to briefly state what the agenda will be for the presentation. First, I'll provide a brief overview of JDBC adapter, then a brief introduction of how this presentation is formatted so that you are able to refer it in future. Then we will go through over some of the known issues in JDBC adapter and their solutions. Then we will have some information on the self-help tips so that you are able to resolve the problem at your end by your own without facing the delay of opening a PMR. Then we will have the question and answer sessions. Moving on to slide number 3. Okay, so slide number 3 gives a brief introduction about what JDBC adapter is. So before I tell you what JDBC adapter is and what it does, let me give you a short introduction of what adapters are in general, WebSphere adapters. So WebSphere adapters are the prime components in IBM integration and middleware domain to help application connect to various enterprise information systems like SAP, PeopleSoft, Siebel, JDE, various databases. So these WebSphere adapters, they implement the Java Connector Architecture, JCA. JCA basically is a standard architecture. It's a contract for integrating J2E applications with enterprise information systems. WebSphere JDBC adapter in particular, it provides capability to an J2E application to interact with a database and exchange information with it. JDBC adapter enables two-way communication between an application running on a WebSphere process server, that is WPS, or running on a WebSphere enterprise service bus, that is WSB, and a database. So it provides this two-way communication. Adapter provides a standard interface that integrates with various kinds of database software vendors and its version. Basically, the adapter supports any database server that has got a JDBC driver, which supports JDBC 2.0 or later specifications. Examples of such databases include IBM DB2, Oracle, Microsoft SQL Server, Sybase, so on and so forth. Adapter uses the business objects to exchange the data between the application and the database. So the application doesn't need to use the internal JDBC API. It gets an abstract layer by which the application can directly call the operations using the JDBC adapter. The business objects are containers for the application data. These business objects, they represent the business functions or elements. In the particular case of JDBC adapter, the examples will be a database table or result of an SQL query. So this is what is contained in the business object. The adapter understands the data format provided by the application. It processes the data, performs the operation at the EIS end, and then sends the result back in the format that is understood by the application. So it does all this transformation along with performing operations at the EIS end. Regarding their applications, JDBC adapters are widely used for business data monitoring in enterprise applications and service integration scenarios. When we talk about scenarios, the JDBC adapter or any other adapter, they basically support two types of scenarios, outbound and inbound. In outbound scenario, it enables the adapter to perform operations on the database, that is to create, update, delete, or retrieve. These kinds of operations are performed at the database. But in case of inbound scenario, the adapter receives the business events from the database. We'll be seeing each of these operations in detail in the upcoming slides. So moving to slide number four. Slide number four talks about the outbound scenario. Basically, the outbound processing enables an application to access or modify data in the database. The slide four that we are currently seeing on the screen, it presents an overview of the flow of outbound processing. An application running in WPS or WebSphere, it invokes a service in the outbound module. Now, this sends a request to the adapter to process one or more business objects. The adapter uses the JDBC API to connect to the database server and accesses the tables and other objects in the database. Now, when the adapter, it receives the request from the application, what it basically does is it maps that request to a particular outbound operation, which can be a create, a retrieve, a update, or a delete, deletion of data in the database, or to run a database program stored in the database. Now processing this request will result into a creation, updation, deletion of records in the database. Apart from these operations, which I just mentioned, create, update, delete, retrieve, adapter or JDBC adapter also supports application to run stored procedures or stored functions that are defined in the database, and to run user-defined select, insert, update, and also delete statements. JDBC adapter also supports all these kinds of requests via the outbound scenario. Moving on to slide number five. Okay, slide number five shows the inbound scenario. Basically, in inbound, processing enables an application to receive notification when some objects in the database are changed. So, for example, an application can be notified when rows are created, updated, or deleted in a selected database, tables. The current slide that we are seeing is a scenario showing an overview of the flow in inbound processing. So here basically application on the database end causes a change in the data in the database. Now this change in the data in the database causes a trigger to get the information into an event table. Event table is basically an event store which maintains or which stores the information about the business events. So what adapter basically does is it polls the event table periodically to get the events. From the event, it gets the corresponding business data from the tables. And finally, it delivers that data to the endpoint application, which is running on WPS or WSB. So this is the entire flow, how JDBC adapter gets the business data, the changed or the modified business data from the database to the endpoint application. Moving on to slide number six. Okay. Slide number six, we have the format of this presentation. So basically, each slide will have a problem, stating the problem, what the problem was seen. It will have the cause, what had caused that particular problem. Then finally, we will have the solutions for the problem. If there are any configuration settings that you should do or any interim fix or hot fix was provided by IBM. And then finally, if there was any tech note that was given for that particular problem so that you can see the issue in more detail in future. So this is how the presentation is being designed, so that even in future, if you see any issues with the JDBC adapter, you can refer this presentation to see if your particular problem matches with the one that are stated in this presentation. One note for this issue is the solutions that we have provided in this have been involved for the particular environment. So whenever you see some issue, it will be good if you check your environment. If it is exactly the same environment and exactly the same version that you have seen the issue, only in that case your the solution that is provided in the presentation will apply to your case as well. So it will be important to check on your environment and the versions. Moving on to slide number seven. Okay, so slide number seven talks about the first issue that we found in the adapter. It was related to the connection handling. So so basically, what happened is in case of an XA exception getting thrown, the connection was getting closed by the WebSphere application server. So basically, WebSphere application server follows a purge policy by which if any fatal exception gets thrown, it closes that connection. So here, this connection was getting closed. So after this XA exception, the connection was closed, and the JDBC adapter still tried to use the same connection, and that again resulted into the object close exception. This was the cause of this issue. The solution that we provided basically for this is we introduced a new activation spec property called as use connection pool for polling. This was the new property that was added. If this property is set to true, then adapter uses a new connection from the connection pool for each event. So basically, in order to avoid the scenario wherein a connection gets closed by WAS and adapter still tries to use the same connection, we introduce this property so that each time it gets a new connection from the connection pool, so that there is no scenario wherein a stale connection is used or is adapter tries to use a stale connection. The interim fix for this was provided in version 7.5.03 IF02. One thing to note for this solution is getting a new connection each time from the connection pool is costly. So if you are setting this property, use connection pool for polling to true, it may have some performance impact at your end. So that is the trade-off that happens. So you'll have to make this decision. So you would like to check what is the performance impact that you see, and based on that you can take the decision on this. But each time a new connection will be used, if this property is set to true, by default the use connection pool for polling property is set to false. So that is the default behavior for this property. The tech note link for this is provided. It provides in detail of what the problem is, how it was caused, and how you can apply the interim fix which was released for this particular issue. Moving on to slide number 8. So slide number 8 basically is about the work rejected exception that we saw getting thrown. And after this exception, the adapter did not poll. So it stopped the polling completely after this exception. Basically, what was happening was the work that was the work that was submitted to the container was getting rejected, and this was not getting removed from the work in progress list. So this basically resulted into the resubmission, as a result of which adapter was not able to poll because of this rejection. This issue was fixed in the adapter foundation classes, and the interim fix version for this is 7004 IF07 was released for the same. So if you see such a kind of scenario wherein in logs you find work rejected exception is thrown, and after that the adapter stops polling completely, you may consider to apply 7004 IF07 or any of its future fixed pack version. Moving on to slide number 9. Okay. Slide number 9 talks about a particular situation for Teradata database for the inbound scenario. So basically we observed that for the inbound query, in Teradata was failing in a particular scenario. So basically the Teradata database, it doesn't support the exclamation equals to operator, that is the not equal to operator. It doesn't support in this format. So basically the operator that it supports is greater than less than operator for not equals to. So we had to handle this situation in our code. So we provided an interim fix for this. The interim fix released was 7503, wherein a check was made that if the database is Teradata, the corresponding SQL standard was used. That is not equals, that is greater than and less than operator for the not equals to operator for Teradata. So if you are using the adapter to connect to the Teradata database, and if you see in the logs that the particular exclamation not equals to operator is not supported, then you may apply the interim fix 7503 IF03. Moving on to slide number 10. Okay, slide number 10 talks about the package store procedure. Basically, JDBC adapter was throwing the SQL exception ORA 06550 for the package store procedures. Now, package store procedures are basically store procedures that are within a package. So, if such a store procedures were called by the adapter, it was resulting into this SQL exception. So the cause of this issue was the way the business object was getting generated it did not handle the packet scenario, the packet store procedure scenario. So the way packet store procedures are represented is the package name dot the store procedure name. So these two are different string names separated by dot. While the adapter considered them to be one, that is the reason why the package store procedure has failed. And we have fixed this issue in 7503 fix pack. 7503 interim fix is 7503 IS04. If you want to invoke package store procedures and you see this exception occurring at your end, you will have to import the 7503 IF04 adapter RAR, and then you will have to rerun the EMD. You cannot simply replace the adapter RAR, which you generally do in other runtime scenarios, because in this case the fixes are also done to the EMD part. So you will have to regenerate the adapter artifacts. So you will have to run the EMD again, regenerate your adapter artifacts, your business objects, etc., and then finally you will see the fix working, and you will have the package store procedure working correctly. Moving on to slide number 11. Okay, so slide number 11 is about a resource exception that was seen for retrieval operation. So when adapter tried to invoke a outbound retrieval operation, it saw this resource exception, and the exception was that the adapter the resource adapter instance is null. This was the adapter. The do deep retrieve was the method that was throwing this exception, and on analysis we found out that since the database vendor was not specified, this exception was occurring. So the workaround for this issue is to specify the database vendor property. This is a manage connection factory property. You will have to specify this property in MCF. This is one workaround. However, in the latest version of 7505 six pack, this issue is being handled now. So even if you don't specify the database vendor property, it gets the database vendor name from the connection metadata. So, but if you want to go for the workaround, then you will have to specify the database vendor. So if you are using Oracle database, then you will have to specify the property as Oracle. If you are using IBM DB2 database, you will have to set the property to DB2. So similarly for other databases, it has to be performed. So this is the workaround for this, and we have also provided the fix for this, though if you don't want the workaround, it is included in 7505 IF01. So that is the interim fix version. Moving on to slide number 12. Okay. So slide number 12 is basically about the relationship between the parent object and the child business object. So basically there are two types of relationship. One is the single cardinality relationship, and the other is multi-cardinality relationship. Single cardinality is when a particular parent business object has got only one child business object, that is single cardinality. Multiple cardinality is when a parent business object has got multiple child business object. So basically it's an array of child business object, that is multiple cardinality. In past we have seen from many customers they are little confused as to how this configuration should be done, what all things they should look for, because whenever they deal with this cardinality they find some or the other exception coming. So we have provided a detailed tech note about this as to how you should deal with single and multiple cardinality relationships. We have also provided some guidelines as to how you can avoid getting exceptions when you are dealing with cardinality. So one of the suggestion is you should never make manual changes to the view structure. We have seen in past some customers have tried to do manual changes to the VO. This may result into the VO getting corrupted and then resulting in the exception. It should be some checkpoints that you can have is for the single cardinality relationship, the foreign key always, the foreign key notation always lies with the parent business object. And for the multiple cardinality relationship, the foreign key annotation lies with the child business object. So you can have this check done by opening your business object. Also, when you are when you want to have the single cardinality relationship between the parent and the child BO, you should see that the corresponding option is selected in the EMD. So basically, there is a checkbox provided in the EMD, External Services Act. Whenever you run the External Services Act, in the additional properties, you can see that checkbox. So it is important that you enable that checkbox. It's only by that checkbox that adapter understands that the relationship is of single cardinality. Otherwise, by default, the adapter takes the relationship to be of multi-cardinality. So it's important that you check that checkbox for single cardinality relationship. The TechNote link is provided in the slide. So it provides in detail about what is single and multiple cardinality and how what scenarios it is applicable in and what you should do to use them. Moving on to slide number 13. Okay, so slide number 13 is about a specific scenario for Sybase database. Basically, in Sybase database, the implicit conversion from varchar to numeric is not supported. So we saw a scenario wherein implicit conversion from varchar to numeric was not supported, and JDBC adapter throws this exception for the inbound scenario when it tried to do the inbound for the Sybase database. The cause of this issue was updating or deleting the event ID field of event table, which causes this conversion exception. So the solution to this issue was provided in interim fix 7503 IF01. The event ID field of the event table should always be addressed by the big decimal. So it shouldn't be a string in the adapter, since big decimal is the standard Java type for the JDBC type mapping with respect to the numeric types. So that was the fix done. The fix is available in 7503 IF01 release. Moving on to slide number 14. Okay, so this behavior of adapter was seen when there are transaction-related exceptions during the recovery. So it was seen that the events were getting deleted even though their status was new, that is status zero. So basically in the event table, the event gets deleted only when its status is one. However, here it was seen that when there are some transaction-related exceptions, even when the event status is zero, the event was getting deleted from the event table. This particular scenario was seen during the recovery. So when scenario wherein if the the network goes down or something goes down and adapter is down and later it comes up for recovering the event, this scenario or this issue was seen in that particular case only. So the cause of this issue was the module that was responsible for deleting the events did not make a check during the recovery for the event status. So so this was fixed in interim fix 7004 IF08. Now the corresponding delete events module that was responsible for the for deleting the events during the recovery, it was made to check the event status and only then proceed with the deleting of the events. So that was the fix done for this particular scenario. So if you see some of the new events in the event table getting deleted, and you see some transaction related exceptions in the recovery scenario, then most probably it will be related to this issue, and you can apply the interim fix 7004 IF08, and it will resolve the issue. Moving on to slide number 15. So slide number 15 talks about the events that were not getting deleted on the restart of the adapter. So basically all the events that are status 1 should get deleted if adapter gets restarted. So once the adapter restarts, the first thing it will do is check if there are any status 1 events and delete those events. So it was seen that these events were not getting deleted in the restart of the adapter. So the cause of this issue was, again, the delete functionality was not working properly, and it was related to the earlier problem which we saw. So again, the check was provided in this to check the status of the events, whether the status of the event is 1 or it's 0. So this particular check was provided, and the interim fix was released. The version is 7004 IS07 for this particular scenario. Moving on to slide number 16. In slide number 16, the adapter throws an SQL error, ORA0396. Now, this was thrown during the outbound operation. The cause of this issue was the maximum idle time that is set at the database end was getting exceeded. So once this idle timeout was occurring, the server, the database server, was making it throw the ORA0396 SQL error. Now the solution of this particular problem is more of a configuration related. So what was suggested was to try and increase the ideal timeout value at the database end. Sometimes the database administrator doesn't allow increasing this value, the ideal timeout value. So in that scenario, what you can do is you can set the minimum connection value to 0, and you should decrease the unused timeout value to less than the idle timeout value. These are the situations wherein your database administrator doesn't allow you to decrease your idle timeout value. So in that scenario, you should follow this. Increase your idle timeout value. So in that scenario, you should try this. First is you should set the minimum connection value to 0. Second is you should decrease the unused timeout value to less than the ideal timeout value. And third is to check on the read timeout value and consider reducing this read time. So what happens is when you reduce the read time, the connection pool maintenance threads runs more frequently so that it doesn't lead to the idle timeout. So you should consider doing these three steps if your database administrator doesn't allow you to increase your idle timeout value. Moving on to slide number 17. So now we will go over some of the self-help tips. This is which contains the featured documents. Feature documents are what goes out to the customers on quarterly basis. It contains some helpful information like known issues, upcoming releases, tech notes, etc. Compatibility matrix, this is a good reference for all adapters. Support portal, it contains wealth of information about adapters. We'll talk about this in detail in the upcoming slide. And then we have must-gather information is when you are not able to resolve your problem on your own and you decide to open a PMR with the IBM support team, then things you should collect, the files you should collect for the support team to start analysis of the problem. This particular slide will talk about what are these must-gather files about your particular problem. Moving on to slide number 18. So slide number 18 talks about the feature document for adapters. These are also called as IBM newsletters. Newsletters are generally sent on quarterly basis. The content is mainly created by the level 2 and level 3 engineers. Most of the customers, they subscribe to these newsletters. These newsletters will contain tech notes, blog articles, developer work articles, or information, any of the information that can help you resolve some of the commonly known issues, some of the commonly seen issues that we find that occur from multiple customers. It also contains information about an upcoming planned education sessions in this particular newsletter. Moving on to slide number 19. Okay. So slide number 19 is about the compatibility matrix. It consists of all the adapters, not just the JDBC adapter. It will state what all softwares and products that are supported for a particular version of the adapter. What all releases are compatible with the different versions of software. It's a good place to check whether a particular OS version or a EIS version is supported for your so-and-so version of the adapter. So you can check using this compatibility matrix. Moving on to slide number 20. Slide number 20 talks about the IBM support portal that we have. So it is basically a one top shot place for everything that is almost everything that is published in terms of documentation, whether it be tech note or adapter documentation or any videos that may help you configure the adapter. So all these things are there. That is basically anything related to our products and not just adapter. It contains all the products under the WebSphere brand. This portal allows you to find information about your message broker or rational application developer or message queue or business process manager or about all these products. It will customize your experience. You can find information for all these products over here. So basically, you won't have to go to different places. It contains from different places. Everything will be stored over here. If new releases come out, it will be over here. You can get to the recommended fixes, troubleshooting links, etc. Everything is over here. It also contains APARs. Either they are internal APAR or field APARs that get generated. Information about fixes that have gone into the product. All these information will be there in the support portal. Moving on to slide number 21. So this is a screenshot of how support portal looks like. This particular screenshot, it highlights the WebSphere adapters family, wherein it contains all this information. So basically all the adapters, whether they are technology adapter like email, FTP, flat file, JDBC, or the application adapters like SAP, Siebel, PeopleSoft, JDE, all these adapter information, you can find it over here. Moving on to slide number 22. So if everything fails for you, you went through the support portal, you went through the newsletters and the tech notes, and still you are not able to resolve your issue, then finally you will have to engage with the IBM support team. So once you decide to engage with the support team, you will have to open a PMR. Once you open the PMR, you will have to provide to the support team files to start their analysis. So these files are called as the must gather files. These are the minimum amount of information that you should gather to provide to the support team to diagnose the issue. It will contain the kind of traces, logs you should provide to the support team, the project interchange files, or what level of tracing you should set, and things like that. All this will be mentioned under the must gathered section. Moving on to slide number 23. So it continues the same must gathered info. It will also tell you what information you should gather if you have a build time issue. Basically, build time issue is something that you see with the external service wizard while running the external service wizard, the EMD. So what kind of information you should collect then, and if you get an if you get an exception or if you get an issue at the runtime, then what kind of information you should gather? What should be your trace setting? What should be your recreation steps? What level of logs and FFDC you should get? So this document will explain you all these things. In particular, we ask customers whenever they see this issue. If they see an issue at the build time, we ask them to provide us only the EMD logs with the trace level set to all. If they see an issue happening at the runtime, we ask them to provide us the traces with trace level set to finest. So basically, they have to enable com.idm.j2ca.star equals to finest, and we also tell them to provide us the project interchange file. So all these details are actually mentioned under this section of must gathered. Moving on to slide number 24. Slide number 24, again, it's a screenshot of must gathered. It's a screenshot of the tech note, which explains the step-by-step process that should be followed to collect the must gathered information. Moving on to slide number 25. So slide number 25, it's a brief summary of what we have seen till now. We saw the introduction of adapter, what adapter is, what it can do, in what all places, in what all integration scenarios you can use adapter. What are the modes of adapter, the outbound mode and the inbound mode. Then we saw the known issues that may be helpful for you in resolving your issue at your end. So then we saw some of the self-help tips that you can use to resolve the issue at your end without to open a PMR, because PMR opening may result into the delay, and your issue may get fixed, will take some time to fix. So what are tips you should follow so that you are able to resolve your issue on your own without any help of the IBM support? But if at all you have to engage the adapter support team, what are the must gathered information that you should provide? We also saw this. Moving on to slide number 26. Slide number 26 provides links to all these products that we have. It provides you a link about the WebSphere support technical exchange that we have, the webcast that we have. It provides you a link for the joining the global WebSphere community, which have got large number of products under it. Message Broker, Business Process Manager, WSB, Message Queue, and so forth. So you have this large number of products under this community. So basically, you have links for all these things, receiving the technical notifications, emails, and things like that. All these links are there. You can go through this links for your future references. I would now like to hand over the presentation to David.
Thank you, Vinod, for a great presentation. And finally, moving on to slide number 27, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Lori, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. At this time, there are no questions in the queue.
Thank you. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Vinod, for presenting today.
Thanks, Vinod.
Thank you, everyone, for participating on today's conference. The conference has concluded. You may disconnect at this time.